Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This is the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
In verse number 13, it says where Satan's seat is, where Satan dwells. That's quite a mouthful. These believers are living in that, in the hub of that, in the center of that. And he says, before I jump into these which saith he which have the sharp sword and the two edges, and all of you know exactly what he's talking about here. He's talking about he is Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter number 4, if I could find my spot. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And he identifies this in verse number 12, he that hath the sharp sword with two edges. Why is it so important he mentions a sword with two edges? It's one thing to have a sword with one edge, but to have it with two edges, on both sides it's sharp. I had a great Bible teacher. He went home to be with the Lord just a few months ago. Temple's here with us. He'll know him very well. Dr. Rick Adams, a senator, Dr. Rick Adams, great man, one of my favorite Bible teachers of all times. And I never forget what he said about that passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, when he says, the reason it's a two-edged sword, because it cuts going in and it cuts going out from now. That's pretty good when you think about it. Of course, he talked about how the Word of God cuts you, and it's healing. It's also many facets of the Word of God. But we know that also Jesus Christ is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Jesus is comparing that in verse number 12 when he says, saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges, sharp sword with two edges. Again, to reiterate, it cuts going in and it cuts coming out, you know. Verse number 13. We see Pergamos's praise, or in other words, the approval. Remember, all of these, when we introduced this study, Jesus would commend them and talk about their good things, and then he would chastise them, and then there's correction there. So you saw the formula in all these seven letters. There was that the good thing, and then the chastisement, and then how you correct it. Well, in verse number 13, I know thy works. Again, he said that to the other two churches. He's going to say that to the remaining churches. God knows everything about us. He knows what we do, good or bad. I know thy works. And sometimes when we're working, and again, forgive me being carnal, the old song, we work our fingers to the bone. What do we get? Bony fingers. Well, even when we think nobody notices, God knows. Out there working and nobody's paying attention what I'm doing, God knows. And by the way, and that's what's important. Now flip the coin around, and you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing. Nobody knows what I'm doing. God knows. Are you following? So it works both ways. He says, I know thy works. Of course, this is a compliment. It's a compliment. I know your works and where thou dwellest. I know where you, by the way, God knows where you live too. You preach that one. God knows your address. And he says, I know where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Again, for going any farther, he has some praise. He talks about them being steadfast and faithful, and he mentions about Antipas. Now, there's one commentator who was brave. Most commentators say they don't have any idea who Antipas was. One guy, I guess, found out who he was. I don't know. But he said, from his reading, that Antipas was a martyr. And by the way, the word martyr means witness. Okay? And back then, they were one and the same. If you're a witness for the Lord, you are a martyr. Are you following? They like love and marriage, they went together. A witness and a martyr, it's the same word. Then, and if you were a witness, you became a martyr. Well, Antipas, they said, was somebody who refused to declare that Caesar was Lord. And because of that, his reward, he was slowly roasted to death in a bronze kettle. Now, whether or not that was true, I don't know. He's the only one I could find that said that's what happened. But obviously, this Antipas, who was a faithful martyr, he was slain among you, among that church member, where Satan dwelleth. Again, that same verse, he says Satan dwells. That's where he hung his hat. Why is that so important? Well, we find that, before I go any farther, look at this next word in verse number 14. But, let's stop right there. That hit me this week, again, as I'm studying, God, Jesus giving them compliments, but the word but, B-U-T, is a conjunction. Now, I went to Auburn High School, but I looked it up. It's a conjunction, okay? And it almost always indicates that whatever follows, when you see that word but, whatever follows, it's always opposite, almost always opposite. In other words, you're telling us, it happens in our conversations. We know so-and-so, he's such a good person, and all that, but, and then here comes the bad stuff. Are you following? We do that all the time. Oh, he's such a great guy, but, oh, now the rest of the story. Well, it's also true in God's Word, a couple of verses I thought about. For the wages of sin is death, but. Now, that goes the other way. That's the positive. Again, but you see, it introduces another thought. It's completely opposite. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then talks about God commended his love toward, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So many things with that word, but it changes. In Ephesians chapter number 2, it talks about, but God. I think that's verse number 5. It lists us as we're just awful, awful people. I think it's verse 5, but God. Thank Lord for that word, but God. And so he had turned it around in verse number 14, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Who is there them? Who is there them? Well, they're in Pergamos in that church. The them is those people in that church that now are clinging to the doctrine of Balaam. And many of you know about the doctrine of Balaam and what Balaam was all about. By the word, the word Balaam in Hebrew literally means not of the people. Not of the people. Nicolaitans, the word Nikos in the Greek literally means to conquer the people. So they're very similar in meaning, but yet in Balaam, you know the story of Balaam. We find it in Numbers chapter 22. You don't have to turn there. I have it marked somewhere in my Bible. In Genesis chapter number 22, remember the story where Balak sent for Balaam to curse the people of Israel. And you remember the story. And I love this. I marked it for this one verse. Chapter number 22, Balaam's riding on a donkey. Let me read this. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, remember the angel of the Lord standing in the road, she, the donkey, thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again, just beating that donkey. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place, and there was no way to turn either to the right hand or left. So you can picture here Balaam on this donkey. Will you go, you stubborn donkey? You know, go, go. And he ain't going nowhere because that donkey was smarter than most of us Baptist people. They saw the end of that, you know. I'm going to wait and listen to what's being said. Anyway, and when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. We used to have a horse that did that. We used to live out in Altursa off of Cow Pen Road. We had a horse sometimes that people aren't going to tell. Just all of a sudden, it was a good horse, and all of a sudden that horse just falls down on you. You had to get up and get up out of that. Well, that's what this donkey did. Fell down up under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. Literally, he got so fiery mad, he was beating her for her. Now he's just whopping her, just tearing her up. And the angel of the Lord and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she, the donkey, said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me. To me, that's one of the funniest passages in all of Scripture. Can you imagine this donkey? He's been beaten, then the donkey just, why are you beating me?
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word, and visit us online at westwoodmbc to hear more teaching like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.